Well, let's pray. Let's jump into this. Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity you've given us. Indeed, Father, it is a great opportunity to come together with those that are like-minded, Father God, those that share the same heart, and Father, to learn about you, to worship you, Father God, to connect our lives with one another. But Father, this morning, as we move through the word, I pray, Father, your anointing upon it, Lord, that you would open our eyes, our ears, open our hearts, Father, that we might receive. And Father, we know without it, Lord God, we're sunk. So Father, let your anointing loose in each one of our hearts so that we might be recipients of that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many of you have ever in your lives, and you know, there's some of us that are going to be very humble in this, but how many of you have ever, you just wished that you were the best at something? You know? I mean, I tried the various sports and things as I moved my way through the school system, and I was just never good at anything. In fact, I'll be very honest with you. The teams that I played with, whether it be football, baseball, basketball, we just stunk. It was like whenever the opponents matched up with us, they knew they were going to get a sure victory. And they were going to have a laugh while they got that sure victory. So I knew I'd never excel at sports. But I have to tell you that I think that there might be one thing in my life where I can actually say that I was the best at it. My father was a New Mexico Highway Patrolman. And one of his jobs was that he investigated and checked accident scenes. You know, that was a big thing. And in our family, whenever there was a truck that wrecked, that was wonderful. It's great. A lot of times, the truck drivers, you know, the people who own the trucking company, they just threw things away that were ruined in the truck. I remember one time, a Sambo's restaurant truck wrecked. And they said, we can't use any of that food because it's like broken open and so on and so forth. You can have it. Pancake mix. Sambo's was kind of like a Denny's, I think. It was just a great restaurant. But one time there was a Sun-Made Raisins truck that wrecked. The whole truck was full of raisins, top to bottom, end to end. All the boxes that were broke open, they said, you know, you can take them, throw them in the dump, because we can't resell any of those. You know, they loaded the ones that were not broken open, you know, so that another truck could come pick them up. And so we went out to the wreck scene, and we got an entire truckload, pickup load of raisins. And so for the next 12 years, I carried raisins in my lunch every day to school. Every day. In fact, I carried multiple boxes of raisins in my lunch. I gave them away to everybody. And one of the things I got good at during the course of time, we had raisins in our house. And I'm going to tell you something. We had lots of raisins in our house. We had lots of raisins in our house. We used to go back, and we didn't want to eat in the cafeteria whenever the weather was good, and so our school allowed us to kind of sit on this loading dock in kind of the back of the school, and we would throw raisins up in the air and catch them in our mouth. And I got so good at throwing raisins up in the air and catching them in my mouth that one time I tossed about 150 raisins consecutively up in the air and caught them in my mouth. I tell you, I was good at it. I had mastered the art of catching raisins in my mouth. I was better than anybody in our school. I was the raisin champion. They crowned me and put a little cape on my shoulders, a sash across my chest, and they run me around the school on their shoulders, and I was crowned the raisin catching champion of the world. Some of you act like that's just not that big a deal, but you try to catch 150 raisins in your mouth, one at a time. I want to tell you one thing that'll do for you. It'll make you dizzy, and it'll make your neck hurt. And you got to be a good throw to do that, because every once in a while, a bad throw can actually ruin your whole strength. So see, some of you now can go to lunch, and you can actually brag about your pastor. I didn't know it. He didn't look like that. He's a man of he's modest, and but he shared with us his raisin catching championship of Carrizozo School, the big, enormous school. We had 120 students, kindergarten through 12th grade. And I think there was only about four of us competing, but I won. Now, seriously, I think all of us at one time in our life probably had this idea somewhere wafting inside of our minds that, you know, we'd like to be the best at something. But the problem with myself is I just never was that good so that I could have that claim to fame where I was the best. I'm sure somewhere, somehow, there's somebody that's better at catching raisins than I. I probably had a train car wreck of raisins, and so they really got good at it. I mean, somewhere, wouldn't you like somebody just to, as you walk by them, they look at you and go, hey, that's Nathan Mason. And he's the best at, I don't know. It's okay. Now, you young people, quit murmuring down here. Because I know he's not the best at carpet ball. Because the youth always come out of carpet ball matches and said, man, Nathan stinks at carpet ball. So I know that's not it. Some of you might remember the boxer, Muhammad Ali. Who indeed in his prime was an incredible boxer. But one of the things he used to say was, I'm the greatest of all time. You remember that? I mean, if you heard Muhammad Ali back in his prime and him talking, you would almost think the guy had an ego problem. Say, I'm the greatest of all time. Now, I got to be honest with you. I'm really not concerned about how many raisins you catch, and I'm really not concerned about how good you play football or basketball or baseball or even if you're a good boxer. If you are a good boxer, though, I think we could use you in some position here in the church. It's the official bouncer for the sanctuary. Wouldn't it be? I'm just joking. We're a nonviolent church. But as a pastor of a congregation, one of the things that I really would hope to have as this congregation assembled itself is some Christians that were really great at being Christians. You know what I'm saying? And I think probably y'all sitting there looking at me, you probably say, man, you know, I wish I had a pastor that was really great at being a Christian. Amen? I pray we have a good youth pastor that's really good at being a Christian. Are you following? Where we could say of one another, man, you know, we may not have achieved greatness in the area of basketball or football, or we may have achieved greatness as the world considers it, but as we walk with the Lord, as we grow in the Lord, as we mature in the Lord, indeed, we could be called great men and women of God. Amen? So today, I kind of want to take you to a story where I believe this religious guy, probably a really big dreamer, maybe somebody perhaps a little bit like me, wanted to be good at something, wanted to be great at something, but he desired, I believe, inside of him an element of greatness to exist. And he came to Jesus, and he asked Jesus, he says, Jesus, what does it take to get to heaven? So open your Bibles, if you would, to Mark chapter 12, and this is kind of the conversation in between Jesus and this man. Says Jesus, you know, what would it take to get to heaven? And you know, what would it be that I'd have to have to be greatest at it? And I think in this story that we're fixing to read, you're going to see Jesus give him some keys, if you would, to being great in the kingdom of God. So Mark chapter 12, and I want to begin reading at verse number 28. It says, then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, ask him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, he said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now Jesus saw that He answered wisely. He said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared question Him. Now today, I really want to kind of keep this brief and succinct, but I want to give you some keys that I believe will help each one of us be great in God. Because folks, I got to tell you something. If there's anything that humanity should aspire to, it's being the best Christian that we can be. It's being great for the kingdom of God. Whenever we live our final day and we have breathed our final breath, for someone to look at us as we have gone on to be with Jesus Christ and say, "Now that right there was a great man of God. That right there was a great woman of God." Folks, I got to tell you something. Everything else that we may have accomplished in our lives pales in comparison to that one statement. For someone to come up to you and say, "You are a great woman of God." And now understand this, they're not blowing smoke. They're really being serious. That is an awesome declaration. To be great in the kingdom of God. Amen? I got to tell you something though. Being a great Christian takes a lot of effort. Can I, and we won't publish this outside of this room, but if you would just share with me just a little bit. No, we're going to publish it, so. But just for the sake of us, how many of you are kind of like me? You've come to a place in your life where you want to get by with as little effort as you possibly can. I'm just being honest with you here. And the rest of you, okay, do any of you use a remote control? Okay, enough said. How many of you drive through the parking lot at Walmart 8 different times trying to find a parking spot up front? Because you don't want to walk 11 more feet than you have to. Come on, folks, we are a society that has been sucked into this vortex. You and I are men and women. We're young people that we want to get by with as little energy as we possibly can expend. Amen. End of conversation, end of story. That's the way humanity is. Very seldom do you run into a person and they say, "Listen, man, I'm going the extra mile." Come on. Being a great Christian takes a lot of effort. I believe not only does it take a lot of effort, but it also takes a great determination. Amen? How many, I'm speaking very politically correct here, how many of you all have great determination? Whenever I was a kid, my mom just told me, "You are one of the most stubborn kids I have ever seen in my life." My dad used to call me hardhead. He said, "Son, your head is so hard." But now, I call it determination. Folks, I got to tell you, to be great in the kingdom of God, to be a great Christian, it'll take as much effort, as much determination at being great as at anything else. If you choose to excel in one capacity or the other, if you just want to excel academically, if you want to excel in the sports world, it takes a lot of determination. It takes a lot of effort. And so this morning, I'm going to give us some keys that I believe that Jesus outlines here for this scribe. And I believe that they're wonderful keys that you and I can grab a hold of and begin to envelop them into our lives. And I believe through them, we can be great in the kingdom of God. The Bible says in verse number 29, "The Lord is our God and He is one." Folks, I got to tell you, first and foremost, you and I got to get on with the business of loving Jesus and loving Him only. Amen? I mean to set aside and say, listen, I have one God that I serve. I have one God that I have laid my life down. I serve Him and Him alone. There is one God, and I will not forsake Him for any false God that exists. And see, many of us in this room, we can immediately grab on the bandwagon and get with that, because folks, you know, we don't go around serving false gods here in America, amen? But now you go to foreign countries and they got little false gods that they carve out and put on their fireplace mantles, amen? But I have to tell you, even though we may not carve our little false gods and set them on the fireplace mantle, we still got a lot of false gods that exist here in the United States of America. There's a lot of things that people chase after and they put their energy into and they worship, if you would. Folks, sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm not going to drag these kids into the vortex, but some of do y'all remember Elvis Presley? Ah! It's Elvis! Ah! People would go crazy whenever he'd come out on the stage. And if you think that's bad, you should have seen what the women used to do. Come on. I mean, we've said all kinds of entertainers. We've said all kinds of people who sing and dance and act at the movie theater. We've set them so far up on a pedestal. Oh my goodness, did you see that? He won an Oscar. So I knew a guy that's name was Oscar. Come on, come on. We just get crazy about it. And if it isn't entertainment, it's sports. I mean, we can get carried away with sports. We can get carried away with sports. We can lose our minds whenever it comes to sports. I want to tell you something. If we could just bottle about half the energy that exists in the sporting arena and bring it into the church, I want to tell you, this place would go crazy. Because, I mean, we worship our teams, amen? I mean, we worship our teams. Go Broncos. Sorry. No, we can find false gods all over the place that we can bow down and worship. And you go, man, I'm not bowed down, worship anything. Folks, I want to tell you something. It is so hard to live in the world that you and I live in. Because if it's not sports, if it's not entertainment, I got to tell you, it's the almighty green dollar. We bow down and we worship false gods. And here, Jesus is saying, guys, there's only one God. Only one. And you worship Him and Him alone. If you're going to make it to heaven, you're going to be a great Christian. You got to realize, you got to start at the starting place. There is one God and one God only. See, I'm just of that belief that somewhere in the DNA of humanity, God wired us, He hardwired humanity to have to worship something. I just really believe that. And I think that if we don't find that one true God and we don't worship Him, our worship is going to be given to something else, to someone else. I believe that there's a lot of people who have a sincere desire to worship God and to serve God. But I also believe that some of those very same people also have other gods in their lives. I got to tell you something, it's a very, very fine tightrope to walk, if you would, to balance that and to make sure that nothing in your life comes to the place where it supersedes that position that God Almighty alone must have in your life. He's mine. One and only, He's mine. He's my only God. See, and it's kind of like this. If y'all want a little test, see, to find out whether or not you worship something that might be in the sporting arena, just do this. Just cut off your cable, your satellite, your smartphone, where you cannot even get a score. Somebody just passed out. I'm serious. And then whenever you do it, you got everything cut off. Check if you have perspiration on your forehead. See, there's all these little tests, and a lot of times, if you just give yourself a test, well, can I get rid of that in my life and I'm still okay? Or am I going to go around thinking about that every day? Am I going to go around with that thing just consuming my thought process? See, that's whenever it's risen to the place where it is become a God to you. But whenever you and I decide that we're going to make it to heaven and we're not just going to get in by the skin of our teeth, we are going to make it. We're going to be great Christians. We're going to be great men and women of God. You got to make a decision. I'm going to serve one God and one God only. The only true God. The only living God. I got to tell you, having only one God has... It takes a tremendous amount of discipline. You know, to discipline yourself. Some of you that have perhaps gone through the cycle of smoking and then not smoking, where you've given up cigarettes. I know that I've talked to people, I've never done that myself, but I've talked to people that have said, hey, I'm laying them down. And one of the things I know is they many times go through some great struggles to discipline themselves not to smoke a cigarette. I one time walked out behind the church and there was a guy out there having an argument with himself. And I listened in because I like to eavesdrop. Do not look at me in that condescending tone because you are just the same way. I stood there for a moment and he's out there arguing with himself whether or not he's going to smoke a cigarette or not. He's out there, man, you want a cigarette? No, I'm not going to smoke a cigarette. I want a cigarette, but I'm not smoking a cigarette. And I mean, he was arguing with himself. There wasn't anybody else out there. And so I went over to him and I said, brother, I didn't hear anything you said, but what I'd like to do is I told him, I admitted it. I said, my wife actually heard you and she came in and told me. No, I didn't. I just went over and I said, man, you're going through the struggle, brother. I said, can I pray for you that God will give you what you need to get through this day without smoking? He said, man, I need it because I'm struggling over this. And he talked to me about how disciplined he had to be not to smoke a cigarette. If we're going to be people who have no other gods before the one and only true and living God, folks, I got to tell you this. Every day we live, we are going to have to discipline our lives. Because there are other gods that would like to come into your life and steal your love for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let me tell you something. I don't believe Satan gets a bigger kick from anything that he does in the lives of human beings. In other words, no greater joy does he get than turning your head to worshiping a false god. Because he does not want the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to get real praise, right praise, our praise. Having one God is not even the most popular thing in America, is it? A lot of people don't mind if you have your God as long as you'll love their God too. But Jesus Christ, with Him, it's to be great in His kingdom. It'll require us to serve Him and Him only. To be exclusive Jesus. To be exclusively Jesus's. No other gods before you. See, the one thing that I have to declare this morning is this. Our God has already told us many things about Himself. And one thing that He has made abundantly clear to us is that He is a jealous God. In fact, He actually defines Himself as jealous. Listen to me. He's jealous. He doesn't want any gods before Him. So every day we got to make sure that we have one goal and that's one objective in life, and that's to serve Him and serve Him only. I'm going to tell you something. That's a biggie. And a lot of times, see, you're sitting here and you go, ah, man, I know that already, Pastor. I know that already. But folks, I got to tell you something. If we know it, if we're so sure about it, then why sometimes does that other God turn our nose and we go off and follow him? Because I've been there. It's so easy because they have a world that's so enticing. It's so full of what is seemingly good things that we can follow after. But he says, man, it's me and me alone. Make that decision, one God. The second thing he defines for us in verse number 30 is this. He says, love God with all that you got. Your soul, your mind, your heart, your strength is what he says. Actually, in Mark, that's the only place that he defines strength. But he says to love me with all you've got. With everything you've got. You know, I think a lot of times as human beings, we think as we go through life that, you know, we're giving it all we've got. But a lot of times I think we can look back and in retrospect, we can understand that we really didn't give it all we got. Folks, I got to tell you something. Raising my children, I look back over the many years that I've had kids in my home. And you know, whenever I was in the midst of it, I thought, you know, I'm doing a fairly good job at being a father. I knew that I was making a lot of mistakes. And I know that God's grace is an amazing thing. And you know, I thought I was doing a good job. I was putting a lot of energy into it, a lot of effort into it. But one of the things I think age does to us is it really gives us a look backwards. And I tell you this, there's so many times I could have given so much more to my kids. And now understand this, I'm not talking about anything that has to do with money. I'm talking about giving them myself. I wish I had taught my kids better in some of the areas of their lives. If I would have raised them up to be better mechanics and carpenters, they wouldn't call me so much. Come on. If I would have taught them all they needed to know, but sometimes, I got to tell you, as a parent, I look back and it was way easier and it was way faster just to do it myself. Come on. And so I look and I say, man, there's so many more things I could have done as a father. And so I guess that's why God gives us grandkids, because I'm going to make up for it. When my granddaughters are old enough, they're going to be wiring up houses. You pull up to church, they'll have your motor out on the ground in just a matter of a few minutes. I don't know if I'll teach them to put it back in, but they'll have it out on the ground. I mean, what is it that we can look at in our lives that we can really say that we gave it all we had? I mean, we put every ounce of energy, we put every ounce of determination, we put every ounce of effort into it. It was all we had. Whenever we were in the midst of construction over in the Family Ministry Center, we were putting the trusses on the second story up above the first story, and we were laying these trusses, and I got to be honest with you, they were pretty heavy. And there's several guys over there, and we were heaving those things up and walking them into place, and I don't know what it was, but in the midst of doing it, something went really, really wrong, and we dropped one of those trusses. And I looked down underneath that truss, and I was thinking, if it's somebody I don't like, I'm just going to say, I'm sorry I couldn't catch it. But it just so happened to be Pastor Rick. And I thought to myself, I thought, you know, I love that guy, man. We've been running for a long time, and I got to tell you, I grabbed a hold of that truss, and in a moment's time, I will tell you, I exerted everything I had. Everything. There was nothing that I held in reserve. And now I have to be honest with you, it clipped him just a little bit. But thankfully, it hit him in a spot that it was non-lethal. And we all kind of got out of it without killing ourselves. And what it was, we just made a mistake. We were trying to put them up too fast, and we just weren't handling them exactly right. But I have to tell you, that was a moment in time where I exerted everything I had. I put it into that. Now, you know how guys are. Oh, I'm sure glad it didn't get you. Oh, yeah, well, great. But that night, whenever I got home, I'm telling you, I had muscles that were hurting that I didn't even know I had. Because I was fat and out of shape, and I still am. And I got to tell you, I pulled things in my body. because I exerted so much. I'm telling you, God says right here, He says, you got to love God with everything you have. Are you with me? Folks, I'm telling you, Christianity in the United States, we walk in this place of mediocrity. We say, man, you know, I love God by coming to church. I want to tell you something. God does not need you to come to church. It's no big statement of faith or Christian conduct to say you've come to church. We got a lot of folks that come to church that aren't even born again. Come on. Some of y'all going, well, then I'm not coming next Sunday if that's the way you feel. Well, I teach Sunday school, and that's my proof right there, folks. I'm telling you, you can teach Sunday school, you can play in the orchestra, you can sing in the choir, you can come and direct the parking lot, you can do anything you want to, and still you can hold back mega amounts from loving God with everything you have. It's not about religious activity. It's about a condition of the heart. Loving God with all you have, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. I can hear Jesus saying to this religious guy, you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to give it everything that you've got. You'll have to love God with all of you, not just a little bit here and a little bit there, but everything, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. See, Jesus breaks it down. And whenever He breaks it down to your heart, soul, mind, and strength, let me tell you something. He has said it all. That's all you got. Nothing left. You'll have to come to a place where you actually give God your emotions. But I'm just an emotional person. See, I've seen a lot of folks, including myself, that have allowed my emotions, our emotions, to get the best of us. Actually get the best of us to a point where we walked over into sin. Now, some of you are just being very quiet right now. It's not good. This is what I'm talking about. Sometimes we can get out of bed in the mornings and we're cranky. You know what that is? That's just your emotions. Just cranky. I just didn't sleep well, so that's why I'm cranky. Let me just tell you something, folks. You cannot sleep well and still be full of the joy of the Lord. You can still be pleasant and kind and happy, not sleeping well. Amen. Boy, that was scary. No, I can't. You know, there's this emotion called anger. And let me tell you something, man, I've crossed this boundary so many times, I don't even want to look back on it. But I've gone from angry to sin too many times in my life. Now, I got to tell you something, there's times where I get angry. Last week, I got angry, but I did not cross over into sin because I've allowed the Holy Spirit an opportunity to take my emotions and help me control them. Come on. Folks, I'm just going to tell you something. We do not have an excuse whenever our emotions carry us into sin. Hold on. Amen, Pastor. Amen. I knew you didn't want to do that. Because the minute you say amen, you've committed yourself onto a track to where you cannot allow your emotions to get the best of you. Not only will you have to give Him your emotions, but you'll give Him your thoughts. Your thoughts, your dreams, your goals. And I have to tell you, this is one of those places where I believe you really have to work at it. You got to stay with it. You never give up. I'm going to love God with everything I have. I'm going to give Him who I am. I'm going to love Him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. Folks, I want to tell you something. That's what makes superstars right there. It's saying, man, there's only one true God, and I'm serving Him and Him alone. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to love Him with everything that's in me. Man, you make those first two decisions, and you are on your way to superstardom. See, I mean, I'd like this, seriously, deep down inside. I'd like to be known as the world champion raisin catcher. I mean, just every once in a while, one of you come up and say, man, I'm so blessed to be in a church where the pastor is the world champion raisin catcher. I mean, I'd go, no, man, really, don't make a big deal of it, you know, but I am, you know. You can't argue with that. Oh, man. But there's something that in my own life that I aspire to achieve. And that is I want to be known as a champion for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to be a man of God. And I got to tell you something. Whenever you begin to look at what Jesus told this young man, one of the things that just begins to resonate inside your spirit is, man, you got to set it aside and say, man, Jesus, you're it. Number one, only you will I go after. And I will love you with everything I have. You see, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord. And you're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to be strong all the way to the end of the race. You see, I think what Jesus is basically teaching, if you don't give it everything you've got, you won't be a great Christian. Simplicity. And this is one of the things that I've kind of taken notes of during the years of full-time ministry. As I've served the Lord and as my life has interacted with other people, one of the things I've realized is this. Whatever part that you don't give to God, the devil will take it. Come on now, that's better than what I got. Whatever part that you do not give to God, the devil will take it. So if you want to be a great Christian, you want to make it to heaven, and I mean, you know, this is it. You have to do more than the scribes and the Pharisees. You've got to guard against hypocrisy, and you've got to be you've got to close your life off to other gods. And then this third thing. And we're out of time. I don't even think we've got time to cover this third thing. Whew. He said, one God, and love that one God with everything that's in you. And we should stop there. Because I don't know about y'all, but every once in a while I run into somebody that's really, really hard to love. Not like some of you angelic individuals that are sitting out there. Jesus tells this guy, he says, listen, you've got to love others as you love yourself. And you have to ask yourself the question, do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? And people go, well, you know, I don't think I really love myself. Do you have a pillow on your bed? Do you have a bed? Do you cover up at night or do you just lay out in the cold on the porch? Come on. We love ourselves. We take care of ourselves. I've got this little joke that I play on kids all the time. I get them by the hand and I say, let me kiss the hand of the one I love. And man, they just go to squirming because they don't want me to kiss their hand. And then I just go, and oh, it's relief whenever I'm kissing my hand instead of theirs. Oh God, thank you for answering that prayer. Oh. You see, I think what we've done here is we've kind of moved into something that it's getting a little bit harder now. Because I want you just to take a 5-second pause and just think of somebody. And I'm going to define them this way. That's really hard for you to love. 5 seconds. No, I just said one person. Some of you are like on number 10. Yeah, them and them and them and them. And that whole family. Oh my goodness. You have to love others like you love yourself if you're going to make it to superstardom. Come on. You see, man, you can love God all you want to, and you can serve Him and Him alone, but you know what God said? He says, man, if you don't have love one for the other, you're a liar, liar, pants on fire that you love me. Come on. He said, if you don't love people, you can't say that you love me. Because the more you love God, I'm going to tell you what it does. It tweaks something on the inside of you. And whenever you love God, you're just going to love people. Do you know where some of the nastiest fights are that exist in the United States of America? They're in churches. They're in churches. And I got to tell you, I'm very thankful to have pastored this church for the last 12 and a half years and not have any fights in this church. I have to tell you that not one time, ever, never, not one time, not even close, have we ever had a fight in the deacon meeting. And that reflects well on the leadership of this church. We got men of God that have been chosen by God to lead this church, and they don't come in to fight. They come in to do the Lord's business. But amongst this congregation, please don't misunderstand me. We've had misunderstandings. We've had things where we've had to work it out. We've had brothers and sisters have to go to each other and repent and apologize. Come on. But we're not fighting. Folks, I got to tell you, there's churches today where somebody comes in and sits on this side, and the person comes in the next, and they're going to sit on this side till they see who it is that's sitting on this side, and they go back out and they come over here and sit on this side because they can't stand the person that's sitting over here in this pew. I'm thankful for that. You know, I got to tell you, this loving thing, it has to start in the body of Christ. It really does. Because we're never going to be good at loving those people out in the world until we're good at loving one another. And I'll tell you something that really has to happen whenever we're loving one another. We have to give each other the benefit of the doubt. We got to put ourselves in their shoes oftentimes to understand why it is that they might have talked to us a little bit snippy. You ever been talked to snippy? A lot of times when we're talked to snippy, you know what we do? Off with their head. I cannot believe she had the audacity to talk to me snippy. I'll never speak to her again, so help me. Not to presuppose that every person that talks snippy is a woman. Because us guys can talk snippy, but we just aren't as sharp whenever we're doing it. Come on. Ladies just have a way of veiling it. Guys just say, I don't like you. Stay away from me. Ladies are just better at it. We've got to learn to love each other. We've got to give each other the benefit of the doubt. We've got to look at the person's track record. If they're always snippy, they might just be a snippy person. But man, if you've known them for 5 or 6 years and they've never been snippy, there could be something wrong in their lives. Come on. And if they've been snippy for the past 5 years, you know what? They might have been raised in an environment that was absolutely counter to what you were raised in. And you don't understand why it is that they act the way they act. But it's something that literally was ingrained in them as a child. Come on. We've got to love one another. I'm telling you, every one of you sitting in this room, including myself, have got a wart or two. We do. If you think you're just the most lovable person in the whole world and that you've never done anything but just been an angel, after service, I'm going to get snippy with you. We just got to give people a break every now and then. I mean, if Pastor Rick comes in and he's just an egghead, and he just says something that's just so off the wall, I got to go, good grief. He's never been like that but two times that I've known him. You see, because our history, we go back a little ways. I know how he is. We've got history with one another here. You know, somebody might just be feeling some extraordinary pressure in one way or another. You know, we just don't know what people are going through. They may have just got some horrible news from the doctor. Financially, they may be going through some things that we just don't understand. And we've got to love one another. I mean, Jared may not pick all the right songs that you're just so in love with, but you know what? We got to love Jared. I'm going to tell you something. I'm the pastor here, and I don't like everything he picks. And you know what? I could change what he picks. I go to him and say, don't ever sing that song ever again. I know Ed likes it, but I don't care. Don't sing it again. And Jared's submissive to authority sometimes, and he would not sing it again unless I was gone or something. But you know what? One of the things about loving people is to figure out that it's not all about you. Some of you just got a revelation. What? You gotta love people like God loves people. And I want to tell you how God loves people. God made a decision a long time ago. And if you're part of our Sunday school class on Sunday morning, you know that long time ago was really a long time ago. God decided that it wasn't all about him. And he humbled himself and he came in the form of a man. And he took on the attributes of a human being. And he was crucified on a cruel and rugged cross for you and I. I'm thankful that God came to a place one day in his life that he said, it's not all about me. You know, I got a couple of granddaughters and they always come to me and they hug me and they give me kisses. One day Annie came to me and she hugged me and I'd been doing something and I was sweating and she hugged me and she's sweaty. Just kind of repelled her, so now I know I can't sweat around her. But I want to tell you something. It is so easy to love those kids because they just love you, you know? Even if you're goofy, they'll still love you. They will. But you know what's hard to do? Is to love somebody that doesn't love you back. That's hard. But see, this morning I'm talking about being a champion for the kingdom of God. I'm talking about things that we as individual Christians can take and put inside of our lives. And I know this morning that I'm being ultra simplistic, but I'm telling you, these are the fundamental blocks. These are the foundation blocks that we've got to master if we want to become the men and women and young people of God that He wants us to be. If we're going to be good Christians, great Christians, men of God, women of God. And I have a desire to be as good as I can be. I'm going to have to love people even though they don't love me back. I'm going to have to love them even whenever they reject my message, whenever they talk bad about me. Okay, if they talk bad about me, I don't think I have to love them. Man, do you know how awful it is whenever somebody talks bad about you? Come on. No, I like it. I like people to talk bad about me. Oh, doesn't it just infuriate you whenever somebody says something bad about you? And this is the thing, even if it's a little bit true, it still infuriates you. The audacity of them talking bad about me. Cannot believe it. Well, where is that book? I'm putting a check mark next to their name. Naughty, naughty, naughty. That's what they are. Not going to give. If I see them at Walmart, I'm not going to even acknowledge their existence. Have you ever done that? Just wheel your basket right by them? And they're all going, so awesome. Then you get in the car, you know, with the rest of your family, go, did you see that? I just drove right by them. I didn't say anything. I acted like they didn't exist. No, for reals. How many of you have ever done it? Real quick. Okay, good. Just wondered. There's only one. I wasn't in the ministry and it wasn't here. Oh. You see, this morning I'm hung here because this one is such a biggie. And I know that loving God and holding Him as the one and only true God, those are biggies. But I want to tell you something. This is one of the areas that I believe we as people really struggle with. You see, ultimately it's this. If we want to be great in the kingdom of God, we are going to have to love people. We're going to have to show them God's love is real. And that's loving people that are unlovable. That's loving people that we don't even identify with. The Apostle Paul said something that was absolutely astounding. He says, I'm all things to all men that I might win some. I'll tell you what the Apostle Paul was. He was a guy that was a lover of people. Man, he just finds somebody that he probably didn't identify with at all. But he could find something to talk to them about so that he could interject the gospel of Jesus Christ into their lives. He was just that kind of person. Show them God's love is real. Show them that it makes it through the battles and tests of life. But you know, I go back to the original scripture that we started with in Mark. It says to love others as we love ourselves. It's not just as simple as loving them. But it says to love them as we love ourselves. That means that we're going to have to put people, we're going to have to put others first. Let me just ask you a question. Next Sunday morning, we're going to have a fellowship across the street. We have lots of good vittles. And have you ever waited so long to go through the line that most of the good vittles were gone? You know, you got there and there's no chocolate chip cookies, Pastor Rick, the horror of horrors. You know, those really good scallop potatoes that so-and-so makes, they're all gone because some 43 pigs right before you got to them and cleaned the pan out. See, what you learn from things like that is, this next fellowship, baby, I'm going to be in the front of the line. If I have to run over old ladies and old men to get there, I'm being in the front of the line. I'm getting them creamy potatoes. I'm getting them. That wasn't a good place. No, what we got to begin to do if we're going to love people is we got to begin to put them at the first of the line. And so often it's easy for you and I to walk that place where we're at the first of the line. We're there at the front of the line. We want to take care of our needs. We want to take care of our wants first. I have to tell you, you know, there's been times in my life where the Lord has humbled me trying to take care of my own needs before others. One particular time I was called and my family and I were on the way to a picnic. And you have to understand there was a whole lot of misunderstandings that led to this. I wasn't supposed to be the pastor that was called in this. We had multiple pastors and one was supposed to be covering, but he was lazy and he wouldn't answer the phone. And so I got called. And I have to tell you, whenever I got called, there was a tremendous amount of resentment in me because I had to say to my family, we're not going where I said we're going. I've got to go put on my suit and tie and go minister to a family who has got some trouble. And I have to tell you, as I was putting on my suit and tie, I was tying my tie and I was saying, this is stupid and I hate this and I wish that family would have never called. And I was just livid. I was livid as I got into the car and I drove across town. And whenever I drove into the driveway of this family's house, there were cop cars and an ambulance. And I thought, oh, something is not good here. I drove up the driveway and there were several police officers outside of the home. And I walked up on the step and I said, can you tell me what's going on before I go in? Because, you know, I'm the pastor called. So and the guy says, yeah, he just committed suicide. And the woman's brother that went to our church had sat down next to their front porch and shot himself in the head that morning. And at that moment, I thought, J.D. Watson, you are such a knucklehead. Because if there was ever a moment in time where I didn't need to be on a picnic, I needed to be ministering to a family that had been thrown into a violent emotional mess. I walked in the door and the lady who was part of our church, she looked at me and she said, Pastor, I bought him the bullets for that gun last week. It is my fault. He's killed himself. And I mean, are you there with me? But you see, all that was in me was, it was about myself. It was about me being deprived this opportunity. It was about my family. It was about me, 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 me. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, no, that's not what you're here on this earth for. It's about others and loving them before you love yourself. And I'm, my goodness. See, you know what God calls us to do? He says that we literally have to die to ourselves. Do you know what that means? That our wants become of no consequence. It's not what I want, but it's what I can do for others. That's what loving people is all about. Loving them like we love ourselves. You know, my mom, I grew up in a home where we just didn't have a lot of money, period. I got one pair of shoes every year. That's it. If I wore them out or outgrew them, my parents would say, tough. We ain't got the money. My shoes were duct taped a lot of times, man. It was great until it rained. But my mom, I can always remember this because... See, back then you didn't go and buy a bunch of cut up chicken. You just had a chicken that was uncut up. And my mom would cut that chicken up and fry it. It's good, you know, fried chicken. And it was amazing because, see, I had two older brothers. And I have to be honest with you, unlike myself, they were pigs. They just ate and ate and ate and ate. But whenever it would come time for that fried chicken, my mom would always say something like this. She says, oh, I just love the wing. Let me have the wing. And if there were too many people there, or my brothers already had the wing on their plate, my mom would just say, oh, I love the back. Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about because you've never even seen the back of a chicken fried up. But my mom fried the back of the chicken that has about, you know, 0.2 ounce of meat on it. And my mom would sit there, oh, this is so good. And I thought my mom's favorite piece of chicken was back. I was always happy to give her the back. Mama, this is your favorite piece of chicken. You know why my mom took that? Some of y'all understand this. Because she gave the best parts of the chicken to her kids. And my mom, there's a lot of times at meals and my mom said, I'm just not that hungry. And now that all the kids have left the house, you know what? She doesn't eat the back no more. She just kicks my dad out of the way and eats the whole chicken. She's making up for lost time. You know, basically, it kind of boils down to this. Whenever you and I do things in Jesus' name, you know, we go forth and we minister to this world in Jesus' name. Whenever we love people, I'll tell you what it kind of comes back to. Whenever we love people, we're actually loving on Jesus. He said that. He said, if you give a cup of cold water to somebody in my name, he said, you've given it to me. You can't love God who you don't see until you show love to those you can see. And, you know, we've covered 3 points, and, you know, they're biggies. They're biggies. He's the one and only true living God, and we serve Him and Him alone. And we love Him with all of our heart, mind, strength, and soul. And we love others as we love ourselves. But whenever Jesus got to that point in His response to this scribe, this is what He told him. He says, hey, you get all that done, and you'll find yourself getting real close to the kingdom of God. When Jesus saw this guy's response, because see, this guy picked up on that. He gave Jesus this amazing response. He said, man, yeah. He was agreeing with Jesus. He said, that's it, that's it, that's it. That is exactly it. Whenever Jesus seen what was going on in this heart, this guy's heart, this is what he says. He says, man, you're close to the kingdom of God. In other words, what he's saying is he's saying what I started out with. He said, man, you've got it. You're doing it. You are amazing, man. You are great in the kingdom. If you understand what it takes to make heaven, then you just got to go and do it. Amen? Because I want to be great in the kingdom. I want to do it for the kingdom. Amen? I want to be that individual that I really don't have a desire to make it in sports or academic or make it in ministry to be the most famous pastor that's ever lived, have financial success, etc., etc., etc. But what I do know is these keys that I've given you as keys literally to greatness in the kingdom of God is, I want to tell you this, I aspire to have one God and one God only. I aspire to love Him with my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. That is what I want to do. And I'll be honest with you. I want to love people. I just want to be in love with people. I never want to go into Walmart again. Come on. Because you know what's even worse? Whenever they talk bad about you, then just ignoring them in Walmart. It's going to them and just saying, man, how have you come over here and give me a big old hug? Come on. They're like going, no, I'd rather not. And just chase them down. Get them there by the cucumbers and the cabbage and just lay a hug on them. Oh, I've missed you. Man, it is great to see you. God bless. I'm praying. Let me pray for you right now. Lord, take that spirit of bitterness out of... No, I'm going to tell you something. I've gained way more traction with my enemies by loving them than by hating them. I'll be really honest with you. I've converted a lot of my enemies to loving me instead of being my enemies just by loving them. I've been on both sides of the coin, man. I've sat out in the parking lot and just said, man, just come out that church door. I'm going to run you over. I'll get you. I've sat there. My wife sitting in the passenger seat saying, no, God, please don't let him kill her. Don't let him do it. She's prayed me out of a lot of hit and run accidents. But I've also been there where I've made up my mind, I am going to love people. And I've gone to individuals that I knew hated my guts. I put my arms around them and I love them, man. I said, man, I'm so glad you came to church today. And I have to tell you, the first few times I said it, I really didn't mean it. Come on. Some of y'all go, oh, I didn't. I wasn't glad they came to church. I was lying right there in the foyer. I would have rather them gone to the hospital. Damaged. But after you do it a few times and you allow the Spirit of God to work in you, there comes a moment where you can genuinely love them. And I want to tell you something. You run hard after that one God, And if you'll just open up and say, God, I'm going to love you, man. I'm going to love you with determination and strength. I'm going to love you, God. And you look around this group of people, and man, I'm telling you, man, there's wart there and a wart there and a wart there, and there's several warts right here. But if you'll just make up your mind, I'm going to love the people that this church has in it, and I'm going to love the people of this world. I'm going to love that little old gal that shorted me a whole order of French fries at McDonald's. I'm serious. We talk about people like they're nothing. That stupid girl didn't give me French fries. Can I just say, I don't think anyone in here needs French fries. Okay? We have to aspire to a place that you and I probably aren't living in right now. I can tell you, I want to be great at something. And I've picked being a Christian. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning, I want to pray. I want to pray over this message that, first of all, it's received. Because I know this morning this is a simplistic message. It's very simple. It's not anything big or complicated in here, because these are kind of fundamental stones. But I just really believe, even right here in the midst of the Christmas season, the Holy Spirit led me to this message this morning. And so if there was ever a season where we could exercise these three things, are you with me? It's the Christmas season. It's here. It's at this moment in time where, man, you know, we could really, really, really turn on the love for humanity that's around us. We really could. Man, we could remember what God did for us by coming as a human being, being born in a stable and lying in a manger, and ultimately become the sacrifice for all of humanity. That's something right there that I believe you and I could love Him for. And so I'm going to pray over this message, but I want all of us in this room to know that right immediately whenever I pray over this message, I want folks to begin to come to the front if you need prayer for any given thing. If today you're dealing with a health issue, if you're dealing with a financial issue, if you've got a problem with some relationship that you're in the midst of, if you just need prayer for anything at all, some of you young people may need help at school. You're just not where you need to be. But God promises us that He is our ever-present help in a time of need. You may be having a difficult time with other kids at school. I don't know. But God is able. So if you need prayer, whenever I say amen, that's your cue. You can just get up out of your chair and come. We're going to have the pastors and we're going to have our deacons come, and we're going to pray with you. We're going to believe God with you. This morning, I really believe there's some of you in this room that you really, really need us to join with you in prayer and believe God for a miracle in your lives. So if that's you, these altars are going to be open here in just a moment. But I want to pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I really believe we've heard from you this morning. It's a very simplistic message, but Father, it is really big. In the overall scheme of Christianity, Father God, it really kind of holds a really top spot. And Lord, I believe that I serve with a lot of really incredible people. From the youngest in this sanctuary, Father, to the oldest, we've got an amazing group of believers together. And Father, this morning I pray for every one of us in this room. I pray, Father God, that we can rise to the level of greatness that you have chosen for us, Lord. Father, we can be good at being Christians. No. Father, I pray this. I pray we can be great at being Christians. That, Father, we can hold to these three things of loving God, of serving you only, and loving people with every bit of might, with every bit of strength that we have, Father. I pray over this message, Father, that it'll do us good. And I pray, Father, right now over this altar call, if there's anybody in this room that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that right now, Lord God, as we move to this time in our service where we pray for one another, I pray, Father God, that they'll come to the front and they'll just ask. And Father, I believe that there's somebody at this front, Lord, that can lead them in a prayer of repentance and a prayer of faith to believe for Jesus Christ to be Savior and Lord of their lives. So, Father, regardless if they need Jesus for the first time or if they just need to make a recommitment or if they have a health problem, Father, if they have a financial need, Father, I pray that they'll come to the altar and be prayed for because, Lord, this is what I believe. I believe you'll meet them here at this altar. And, Father, I believe you are the God of the impossible. You can do it where men cannot even come close to doing it. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray this prayer. And Lord, we believe today that this word is going to change us. Amen and amen.